As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection Podcast, where we look at the craft of songwriting through the eyes of the songwriter. Each week, we make a connection with a music maker, listen to their songs, and hear their stories. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Letehan.
Thanks for joining us on the pod. It's your connection today, and we're episode number 147. And I have to say, we do all these in advance. So this is actually March the 4th, and it is a beautiful, sunshiny spring day here in Tennessee. Yeah. Birds are tweeting, and the grass is coming up, and so are the daffodils and all that early stuff. So it's great, and it's great that that you are joining us today. I want to thank you all because we are getting very close to that 600,000 stream point, and that's thanks to you for spreading the word around. And we're getting some tremendous comments from you too, and thanks for that encouragement. It just means a whole lot, so the comments help. And if you're listening on YouTube, of course, we want that little like and subscribe. You mash those buttons for us, and we certainly do appreciate it because it helps. Well, let's make a connection. You know, I was thinking today, we talk a lot about genres and the hate for them, my distaste, and I have to tell you, I grew up on rock and roll in the Cleveland, Ohio area in the 70s, where WMMS was king, and they were launching people like Bruce Springsteen and David Bowie and the band Rush. So I grew up on that, and then got into jazz music in college, where I did some radio and jazz, and progressive music as well. And then I found myself doing adult contemporary and then country. So I have really wide, eclectic tastes. But people say, well, what do you listen to today? And I will say, well, I think if you had to put a name on the genre, it would have to be, for me, Americana. And I love WMOT here in Nashville. It comes out of MTSU University in Murfreesboro. And they serve all of Tennessee. They've got all these repeaters and things. And it's just a great station. And the reason I think I like it, because it mixes so many different genres in. When you listen to Roots Radio and a lot of Americana music, what they're calling Americana, you're going to hear everything from bluegrass to blues to R&B to country, but the more alternative type of country, to country. It's all mixed in there in such a beautiful way. And so I want to recommend that you listen to WMOT. But, you know, whatever your music tastes are, this is a song about songwriters. And again, my advice is don't worry too much about the genre. Find out who you are. Find your true writing voice and write to that. It's going to find a place. We have an amazing guest today. Let me tell you, they've been on the show before. It was November of 2022, as we were coming out of COVID, episode 84. They are one word that represents the past and the future. One word, Gold Pine, with two wonderful people, husband and wife team Cassie and Ben Wilson, are back. Hello there.
Hey, thanks for having us back.
Yeah, good to be back.
Thanks to have you back. You know, you guys are really amazing, the way you promote yourself. And I think there's a lesson in there to talk about, too. It seems like every time I open up a social today, there you are. Cassie with your smiling face.
That's what we want.
Yeah. Right. And you do it all yourself. Is DIY?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you?
We've learned a lot specifically about social media marketing and campaigns. Mm-hmm. I've been going through a course, but just in the last probably 6 months, mm-hmm. and learning how to do that all ourselves, and meta ads, and yeah. these different campaigns that I never realized our entire career that we could do these things ourselves. And you learn that, wow, there's a world of possibilities for independent artists.
Wow. And that's great. And you do a really good job with it. So,
Thank you.
You've done so much. Now, last time I spoke to you, you were just getting ready for the 30A Festival. I know you do that every year in Fort Walton Beach, and that's a big one. And you have a blast there, don't you?
Yeah.
I love 30A Fest. Yeah.
Did you do it this year?
We didn't this year?
We did it
2 years in a row, and I attended a year before that without plan. But it's such a great connecting place for... How many artists are there? Probably 300-400 artists.
Yeah, wow. A lot.
Yeah, wow. And they're all just—they're artists that I've been listening to on Spotify, and I want to see them in these small venues, and it's just such a cool experience.
Isn't that neat? Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah, the Spotify playlists today, which you're on a lot of them, and that's important to reach them, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a big deal. And for us personally, our Spotify is. I would say the thing that needs the most work.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I don't know. That's just we're a live performing band.
Yes,
we tour just constantly.
All the time. Yeah.
And that's where we do our real stuff. And the Spotify world is almost something that we haven't even ventured into that far.
Yeah, it's a struggle.
Well, wait till it happens.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I'm sure you've got so many other things to do. Because I know you travel extensively. You're all over the country, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Last time you were here, you had just won a songwriter contest through the Rocky Mountain
Songwriting Contest.
Wow. Yeah, in Red Lodge, Montana.
Red Lodge, Montana. And it was just that beautiful song you wrote for your mom that brought me to tears, Cassie. My favorite parts of me. Right?
My favorite parts of you.
You are my favorite parts of me.
Yeah.
I love that song. I got a squirrel brain. I can never remember the names.
Yeah, that was pretty good. You remembered.
But I love that song. And, you know, if you'd like to go back again on past podcasts, the story of that song is incredible. Again, that was episode 84 of the Songwriter Connection. So, other things that it's so exciting to see you guys. You sang the national anthem for the world champion. Kansas City Chiefs game was against Cincinnati, their last game of the season, was it?
It was not the last game of the season,
no?
But it was an important game,
yeah.
And they won. It was on New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve, okay.
Against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Tell me about that experience.
It was crazy. It was such an honor, and it was probably the highlight of our career. I mean,
yeah.
It's not often that we get to sing for 76,000 people.
And it's
by
a stadium
by
concert.
Not often, I yeah. mean never.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But we just couldn't believe it. It was such an honor. It was so much fun. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just a special day, and we got to share that moment with Ben's mom and dad came, my best friend came, and her husband and my brother, and they let all of them come on the field with us during sound check. And
wow.
I tell you what, the Kansas City Chiefs are the real deal, like all the way around. Like, they flew us up there. They put us up. They do it right.
Awesome.
And I still can't believe that it happened. It was
surreal.
It was surreal.
Yeah.
It was such an adrenaline rush. It was a day that we'll never forget.
Wow, I'll bet. And there's videos of this out there on your socials.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. So the Chiefs gave us the video that they actually filmed while they were there and that they put on the Jumbotron.
Mm.
And so we put that on our YouTube, and then on our Instagram, we did this whole behind the scenes of our whole day. Like,
it's so cool. Absolutely.
It was so fun.
Really?
I had an outfit designed by Barry Kaufman, and I came up with the idea, and she just brought it to life. She just exceeded my expectations. And
oh, cool.
That yeah, just
so
hanging
cool.
in my closet. I don't know when I'm going to wear it next. But
you know, and that's not the easiest song to sing, is it?
No.
How do you work that one up?
We had been singing that. We included that into our gigs for like the past six months.
Did you? Okay.
After we knew that we were going to be singing it,
Yeah, so we had had a lot of experience singing it. You should tell them about the plane being late and the whole...
Oh, yeah. So, I think that people like to know behind the scenes, because I love to know behind the scenes. So,
me too.
When people are singing the national anthem, if anyone has ever noticed before that, like, maybe it seems like it speeds up or it slows down, well, there's a reason. So, on the field during sound check, it has to be a minute and 30 seconds. So the first time it was too slow. The second time it was too fast. The third time we got it right. And she said, I'll be behind the camera guy, somebody that works for the Chiefs. And she said, and I'll be telling you to speed up or slow down. Oh. And I'm like,
with if, hand motions.
With hand motions, yeah. Wow. As if there's not enough going on.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, because they time the words with when the fireworks go off and when the jets fly over.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay. So she said, so make sure that you're looking at me. And I was like, I'll look at you. And she said, everybody always says that. And then they closed their eyes. I said, I will look at you, girl. And so we like, we're getting along, you know, singing the song. And then all of a sudden she's like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. And I was like, what? In my mind, because there was a really cool high note that we were doing at the end. And I was like, she's rushing us. But anyways, I did it. And then after it was over, the entire stadium, 76,000 people, they all turned their head up in the air. And there's no jets. And we're all just looking and looking. They were 20 seconds late. And she said never has it ever been that late. Like maybe 5 seconds at the most. But there was some kind of disconnect from her and the people on the top and then the jets. And so when we got the video back, Ben had to edit it and like take the 20 second and make it look like that the planes actually were flying over.
So. Oh, that's cool that you could do that.
But I just think that's fun to know. Like who knew? If, so when you're watching and you're like, why are they going so fast? Because they have to.
They have to. To time the jets. Man. I always wondered how they did that.
Yeah.
Man.
Think about that. You're already singing the national anthem in front of how many people on TV?
Right.
And in front of 70,000 people in a stadium with all that energy. And then someone's in front of you making a hand motion to speed up in the middle of the song.
And you're like,
Tempo, right?
Jeez. That's a lot of pressure right there.
And you had 20 more seconds that you could have just really...
I was like, girl, I could have milked that note.
You sure could have.
I mean, I still kind of did, but I was like, I was like, 20 seconds.
It was wonderful. What a thrill.
It was a thrill.
Well, you've got a new album out, and I love it. It's called Two.
Yep.
Because it's the one after One.
Yes. Yep, that's right.
Which was the album that was out last time we had you here. A great album. But so is this one. And tell us about the approach on the sophomore record. Because they say you got your whole life to write that first one, right? And the sophomore
that's
one.
That's a good point.
Sophomore one's supposed to be the toughest, right?
Yeah. Some songs on this second album did come from past songs that we had had that were written probably 5, 7, maybe started 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And you know, those songs just hang out in your voice memos in your iPhone or in your notes in your iPhone. Mm-hmm. And you go back through them when you have writer's block and you're like, I remember that point of inspiration right here. And then you just continue to build on it. So some of those songs that happened, but then some of them like Do You Have Me, the first track on the album.
I'm going to play that here in just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. We wrote between the first two albums. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was kind of a mix.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I know that you were once, you had a different name, My One and Only.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly. And the song My Favorite Parts of You, you had originally recorded under that name. And now you're bringing it back on too. So there are some things that were...
That
you've incorporated in, which I think is great.
I personally love that song so much. It's about my mom, but it deserved to be on under Gold Pine also. So we re-recorded it, and we so my dad passed away when I was I was 19, so like 20 years ago, and he played music and he left his banjo and his guitar to me, and so the banjo has been hanging up in our studio for years.
Yeah.
And so Ben was like, I'm gonna play your dad's banjo. So there's so much love that's packed into this song. So Ben played my daddy's banjo on my mama's song. And so it's special. It deserved to be on the album.
Oh my, that's something. Yeah, that's really something.
But the banjo only had 3 strings on it and I had to tune it like a guitar.
Yeah.
And the strings are at least 20 years old.
Oh, and probably older than that.
But it gave that certain kind of sound, right?
It was that sound.
It was that sound.
That sound that cannot be repeated, except with that one. So, I want to play a song that I think, Cassie, really shows up your voice, even more than the national anthem. And this is the first track on the album, Two. It's called Do You Have Me? And tell us a little bit about the writing of that, and then we're going to listen to it.
Oh, wow. We usually just play this song. We hardly ever intro it. So what shall we say about this one?
The truth.
This one is about a relationship of some kind where, and we've probably all been in it, where you feel like you're giving something and the other person is not investing in the same way. So it feels in that way unequal. Mm. And we're just going through some of the feelings inside.
Okay. Well, let's give it a listen. This is Do You Have Me from the new Opine record. This was the first single too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I got troubles on my mind. I got a river a mile wide. You call me up on the telephone, but you only call 'cause you're all alone. Yeah, I got a few troubles of my own. You say I have you. Well, is that what you mean? Do I have you, or do you have me? I can punch above my weight. I can hold on to the pace. You don't even see it now, but someday it's gonna come falling out, and you ain't even ready for the final hour. You say
song. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Not only showing off your great voice, but Ben, you're great picking too.
Thank you.
Yeah. And the video, I love it. Costume changes, you know, the whole, it's got it all, right?
Thank you.
And it's out there on YouTube. Check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Great song, you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. Southern soul and curious grit, but you also consider yourself storytellers. So writing is a big part of what you do, songwriting. And you write a lot together? Because I noticed on the record, and I wanted to ask you this, some tracks are listed as Cassie written, some are listed as Ben. But do you write together or are you solo together?
I feel like I remember our names on all of those songs on that album.
Well.
Maybe, I don't remember.
Well, maybe the Spotify has it wrong.
Possibly.
And it could, and that happens.
Yeah, because basically all those songs we did write together.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah. Some of them were started by one or the other of us, and we brought the other one in to kind of, you know, polish some things over.
Is that pretty much the process? Is that what happens most of the time? Or do you sit down and make an appointment and say, we're going to write today?
What do you think? What do we do, Cass?
Well, it's ever evolving.
Ever evolving.
Like, you know, because Ben is very disciplined and Ben is very good at making time to do important things. And I'm a kite and he's a string. So I'm floating around up in the sky and he's just trying to roll me back in all the time.
Do you have a song about that? Gosh, that should be in the hook book right there.
Right, write that down.
Write that down.
So he writes without me, but also we try to schedule times to write. I'm a little resistant. It's hard for me because I only want to write when I have something to say, mm-hmm. or when I'm going through something that's really difficult, or if I like need to write to get through something, or something has moved me so much, then I want to write. It's hard for me to just be like, okay, let's write.
You have to feel inspired.
I guess, which is terrible because, I mean, you can go through long time without being inspired.
No, I think that happens.
It happens.
For writers, it does. And there are the disciplined kind that will set up an appointment with themselves and write every single day. And that's not always the case, the great songwriters. They really aren't. I mean, you're right. You have to have something to say, right?
Yeah, but Ben is really good about... he'll write on his own, and then when he gets so far, he'll bring me in to basically just clean it up.
How do we make this better?
I'm totally kidding.
No, okay.
Kinda. But, I mean...
Kinda!
Yeah. No, he writes a lot on his own, and then he brings it in, and then I just kind of help him, you know, put a little gold pine on it. Like
put a little Cassie on it.
There you go.
Cassie on it. I like it.
Yeah. And we do write together a lot, some too, but here recently, Ben's really been writing a lot on his own and then just bringing me back in at the end.
Now, you've got your tour bus out there. You guys travel all over in this mobile home. I love it. And do you ever get inspired on the road? Do you write while you're driving?
I love to write when I'm driving late at night and Cassie's asleep in the passenger seat.
Ah.
Like you're driving after a gig, 12,
what,
midnight,
what does that
1 a.m.
Say, Cassie? That's just wait for you to be asleep.
He's like, will she ever shut up? Will she ever shut up? Okay, I can write.
No, I'm sorry.
That's true. You know, Cassie used to love energy drinks before the last 60 days she hasn't had any. At that time, I late at night would, when we were driving in the tour bus, I would drink a NOS, right? The NOS energy drinks.
Uh-huh.
And,
is that how you say that? Was N-O
I don't. I think so.
No. I'm like, what? That's a weird name. Anyway.
So I remember so many times where I'd be driving late at night drinking a NOS, and man, I would just start to feel so inspired. It's late at night. Nobody's around. I'm like basically by myself. I'm feeling like all this energy from this NOS. And
they should sponsor because all these songwriters now are going to shoot into the stores and buy NOS. There we go. This is the songwriter juice here.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. Those are good times, you know, kind of that isolation time. But I haven't done that in a while.
Wow.
Oh,
did we just do a commercial?
Yeah.
I think we did.
Now I do the V8 energy. They're much better for you.
They are.
There you go. Could have had a V8, right?
Yeah. Love it.
Tell us again. Remind us. Ben from Iowa, right?
Yeah.
Cassie from Alabama. How'd y'all meet?
We met at a small church in a suburb of Nashville called Antioch.
Oh, sure.
You know,
Antioch Baptist Church was in that song by Charlie Daniels.
Okay.
And there's really an Antioch Baptist Church, but it wasn't a Baptist church. It was just a church in Antioch, right?
That's not the one we met at, but that was back in 2006. I had just moved to town probably half a year before that.
Wow, okay.
And Cassie had been here for, I don't know, 5 years at that point, came to sing country music.
And you had a record out on your own, didn't you? Cassie Miller, was it?
Yes, I've had two or three on my own.
Did you?
Okay. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
If y'all really want to dig, y'all can go listen to Cassie Miller, and then you can listen to Cassie.
Ah.
I dropped the Miller. We get real confusing. And then Ben, had an album under Wilson, and then we had my one and only, and now we're Goldline.
And now you're Goldline.
We're so confused.
We're not confused at all about our identity. Who are we? Who are we?
Split personalities. So you met in church?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, met in a small church. I was playing in the praise and worship. It was me and Brother Leroy who played gospel keyboard.
Brother
and I was
Leroy.
Just...
That was it.
I was just trying to keep up. I could not keep up with that guy. And probably 20 people out in the congregation, and Cassie was one of them.
I was visiting.
Yeah, you were just visiting.
I was visiting, and I seen him, and I was like, I said, he is real cute, is what I told my friend. And she was like, we're not supposed to be checking out guys. And I was like, I think this is where we're supposed to find them. I think so. And I looked past his terrible yellow polo shirt and his khakis and his K-Swiss, and I could see I could see the beauty underneath all those terrible
clothing ideas. Isn't that? I mean, that is really sweet.
So sweet.
And I've heard it said that you knew you were going to marry him right away.
I mean, I knew I wanted him. I was like, and he's, as well, you don't know, but Ben's more of the timid one of the two of us. And so I knew that I wanted to meet him. And so I knew Brother Leroy. And so I went up there and I was just talking to him, trying to get to meet Ben. And then...
to get to Ben.
Absolutely.
What, yeah. What notes are you playing on that keyboard? What is that on the sheet music there?
And then I MySpaced Ben.
MySpace. Well, there you go. That was the end
topic.
Thing then.
I know. Yeah. It was a long time ago. But honestly, we kept seeing each other all over. So Ben worked at a coffee shop that used to be called Edge Hill Cafe. And my manager at that time, my music manager, he loved to smoke cigars. And we met there and he would sit out on the patio and smoke his cigars. And I don't drink coffee. And he would drink coffee and smoke cigars. And lo,
I just
lo
could
and
picture
behold,
this guy in my head.
Oh my
cigar chomping managers.
Yes.
Coffee.
Yes, you could. He was amazing. He's no longer on earth, but he was super cool. His name was Jim Femineau.
Oh, Jim Femineau.
I figured
yeah.
you
him
might
once
know
or twice.
I figured
yes.
you would have known
him. I figured
him,
you
yes.
might
a
know
sweet,
him.
Sweet man, actually.
Yeah, short. Just a big ball of joy.
And wrote some big hits.
Yeah. Wrote some big hits, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're totally squirreling here and we're all over the place, but let me tell you how I met Jim.
That's how we like to do this show.
So I was writing over at, oh God, what is his name? Phil Billy, where he writes?
Yeah,
I can't remember.
O'Donnell. Phil O'Donnell?
Yes. But I can't remember. Anchor Down. Oh, my
Could
gosh.
Be.
I can't believe I can remember this. Yeah. So I was writing with Buddy Owens. And Jim was there writing with Bernie Nelson.
Wow.
And I guess he could hear us and hear me in the other room. And if you know Jim, he ain't shy. Mm. So he busted open the door. And he was like, he just introduced himself. And that's how we met. And then we talked a little bit. And then we went and ate at Shoney's. Off of an Antioch. And anyways, I had just did a television show called... I just did this show called The Ultimate Cowdy Ugly. And I won that show. And
awesome.
Anyways, that's how it all happened. And then he became my manager.
Wow.
And then he produced my... Him and Bernie Nelson produced my first...
Incredible.
Some stuff. That's so random. Why am I talking about that?
No, that's so...
Oh,
it's interesting.
So yeah, anyways, there's so many layers to this onion. So back to Ben. So Ben was...
Meanwhile, Benjamin.
We're sitting out there at Edge Hill Cafe, and he's smoking his cigar. And but lo and behold, there's Ben behind the counter.
Oh.
He's the barista. The
yep.
barista that don't drink coffee. Anyways, we just kept seeing each other all over. And I wanted him, and I got him.
There you did.
We'll be married 15 years in June.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
15 years. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
And they said it wouldn't last 15.
Yeah.
How about that?
I tell you what, Jim didn't like it.
Really?
He's like, this boy's getting in the way.
Oh.
It was
no
just me and Jim. I didn't have a boyfriend. I wasn't dating nobody. And he was so amazing. He was like, every day I wake up, I think, how can I make Cassie famous? I was like, I love you so much.
Wow.
Then I met Ben and my focus shift. And I was like, oh, I love country music, but I like this too. And the rest is history.
When did you start singing together? Shortly after that?
No.
No?
like, we were doing our own music at that time. Cass was doing country stuff. I was doing alternative folk rock.
And you produced my stuff.
Yeah, and so, like, when Cassie would play in a writer's round, I'd play guitar for her because she didn't play. Nice. And that was even before we were married. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in some way, we were playing and singing together a little bit, even before we were married.
Yeah.
But not a duo until 6-7 years later.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to hear some more songs from this new, live around the dining room table from this new album, too. Gold Pine is our guest on the Songwriter Connection.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the winter's bestseller pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection, connecting with music makers and hearing their songs and stories. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
Ben and Cassie are guests, and they are Gold Pine. About the name, real quick, before we go on. Gold Pine, it's relevance.
Yeah, that. I grew up on Pines Road in Alabama.
Pines.
And so that's the past. And, you know, gold is the element that when it goes through fire or anything, it only gets better. And so we were like, that's our future. So Gold Pine.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, we just made up our own word.
It's a great word to make up. I like it. Rolls off the tongue. Gold Pine.
Yeah, it does. It does roll off the tongue.
Sounds like a construction material, I think. I like it.
That's made out of gold pine right there. That's hard to get right there.
Termites will never eat this wood.
They will never eat this wood. People learned that kind of gold pine. Right, so...
We're going to get all kinds of sponsorships from this show.
I'm sure you are. We already got NOS and V8, I think, so... I see videos of you playing all over, and I know you tour extensively. One of the videos I saw was for a song that you did on this record called Lost and Found, and at the Monkey Duck, which is a famous folk venue in Houston, right?
Yeah.
Do you do a lot of touring throughout Texas and things? I know you've done the Kerrville Folk Fest and things. And...
Yeah, we do a lot of Texas touring. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where our... full-time touring started out.
Is it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which was really full-time touring is probably 2 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
Really?
And so a lot of little places in Texas, and then we, you know, moved up to venues like Mucky Duck, which we love, and just other venues around Texas. But we're all over Texas and all over the country now, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. How many shows you do a year?
Well, I think last year we did 200 shows.
Over 200, yeah.
This year we're cutting back a little bit to like put more focus into each show, marketing-wise and whatnot.
Gotcha. Makes
sense. So maybe like 150 or something this year. We'll see.
That's great. But still, that's a busy schedule.
Yeah.
How many miles
you
put on that?
About 30,000 a year, I think. Yeah, we've had that van for 2 years. It's the second van that I've built out. Mm-hmm. Into a tour van, and it's got, we bought it brand new, it's got 60,000 on it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I remember looking inside. It's really a home. It really is. You get kitchens in there and closets and it's home away from home.
I miss it when I'm not there.
I think you say home is where you park it.
Home is where you park it. Right now we're parked in your driveway. And this time we have a little chihuahua in there.
Ooh.
Jackson, he's in there.
Jackson.
Mm-hmm. He's 13 years old.
Oh.
He's in there just sleeping and dreaming of food.
What else you do when you're a dog? Have you had him all that time?
13 years?
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. He's real sweet. During COVID, everybody was doing, you know, the live shows. And so Jackson was always in my lap or beside me. And now everywhere we travel at our shows, everybody's like, is Jackson in the van? I'm like, what are we, chopped liver? All they ask about is Jackson. And I'm like, no, he's at home on the couch with my uncle living his best life.
There you go.
He's a hit.
It's the same with my cats. We've got Twinkie and Juliet. I'm surprised Juliet hasn't come by to say hello.
I haven't seen any of your cats
yet. I have. They're sleeping.
She likes to pop in on the shows from time to time. So I'm surprised she's not in your lap. She's a lap cat. So.
She is sleeping in the sun right now.
So I get it. Yeah, folks will come over not to write, but to visit Juliet. How about maybe we pick up that guitar and do a song here around the dining room table, which is every bit a part of this podcast.
Yeah.
Something I look forward to and love the most about doing Songwriter Connection podcast. And pick a song and tell us about it, and we get to hear you guys harmonize and that great voices.
Well, you mentioned that song Lost and Found that you had heard it on the video from Mucky Duck. This is a song, we'll do that one. It's off on the new record, too.
Great.
And I grew up in Iowa. My family all still lives in Iowa. And
is this heaven?
Yeah, right?
Iowa, right?
And my mom's dad was a farmer in small town Iowa. Mm-hmm. And so there was a family farm handed down to him. It was in the family line. And it didn't take long after that happened for my grandfather to realize that he simply hated farming.
Mm.
And so in the early 60s, he sold the family farm and moved to Omaha, Nebraska to be an electrician.
Wow.
And my mom was just a child at that time. And a few years back, my mom sent all of us brothers a copy of that farm for sale sign that my grandfather made in the 60s when he sold that farm.
Wow.
And it's hanging in our kitchen here in Nashville. And one night we thought we would write a song, write my mom's story in a song. So this is
awesome.
From her perspective.
Let's hear it.
It was 1961. I was staring out into those snow white fields. That December cold was seeping through the cracks of window sills. I can still feel the calloused hands that brought this child upon this very land. And I can hear the hum of harvesters every time I think of my granddad. My father never asked for this. A generation said it was his lot. So from morning sun he tilled the fields, but to call himself a farmer he would not. That winter eve I looked out as he drove that for sale sign in the ground. And as I stood there watching him, my tears that fell down didn't make a sound. Sometimes when something is lost, for someone else it's found. I can understand how to sacrifice yourself for someone else. This life is made of seasons, and some of them don't really suit us well. We sold that farm in the Midwest and
settled down in northern Omaha. Dad, he picked up steel-toed boots and never put his hand back on the plow. Sometimes when something is lost, for someone else it's found. Someday I will give my brother's name to one of my own children. I saw Jesus on the city bus, and I told him I was all right for now. I had plans for the next few years, but we both knew that I was nowhere bound. Sometimes when something is lost, for someone else it's found.
That is beautiful. Write what you know, write from your experience. You know, listening to the lyrics of that song, one of the things that popped out to me, and again, I'm looking for the songwriting lesson and everything, you know. You could have said, he sold a farm and he went to work in a factory. Instead, you said he went from steel-toed shoes and never touched a plow again.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. It's just finding different ways to say things, you know, and you have a knack for that.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's funny, that plow line was my attempt to rhyme with Omaha.
Oh.
Because there was something I could not figure out a rhyme for. I was like, oh, plow could work. It's funny because some people really love exact rhymes in songs.
Yeah. Yes.
But I kind of prefer like the very near rhyme. It's kind of like more unpredictable.
So. Ben, I'm so glad you brought that up because that, again, there's a songwriting lesson. And I like the near rhymes as well, the unusual rhymes. Sometimes words that you would never thought would rhyme do. And I like the unusual rhyme, the rhyme you don't expect that brings that story along. So I think you have to know where you're going. And then I look for the most unusual. I hate at a writer's round, sitting there listening to young writers, where I can predict what the next rhyme is going to be.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I miss you in my heart since we've been apart. You know, you can just about, you know, so think about that. Go beyond, don't just take the easy way out, right?
Yeah, the near rhyme definitely opens up a world of possibilities. It's funny because...
It really does.
And sometimes the way somebody pronounces something can make something rhyme with something else.
Oh, sure.
Like I'm thinking of a song that I'm working on right now where if I sang it, it wouldn't work, but I'm rhyming upon with stone.
Stone.
But the way Cassie could sing it, it would rhyme upon stone. You know, it just it's funny how you can play with words and it just works sometimes.
Town, the way I remember Reba in a song Town, and she rhymed that. And I can't remember what the rhyme was, but it was because of her accent.
Because of her accent, that's funny.
And you wouldn't think it would.
Was it Fancy?
I think it was Fancy.
Yep, Fancy. Yeah. Don't let me down.
Down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Down.
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 Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think it was. Yeah. So
there you go.
Anyway. You're from Coleman, Alabama? Is that what you told me?
Yep, from Coleman, Alabama.
You know, I used to work at Ryman, some really into the country music history. You know, that's where Minnie Pearl really got her start.
Yeah, I don't really know how or what she was doing. I've heard someone say that.
She was in a play.
Okay.
And this is before she became a comedian, and the play was there, and she had stayed with this family in Coleman, Alabama, and they were just a trip, and she based the whole character, I think the mother of the, yeah, and then, you know, built it from there, but
wow.
That was her first big break, was there, in theater.
Love that.
So it was based, her thing was based around somebody who lived in Coleman, that's the idea?
That's right, she lived with that family.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
And got to know them and love them. They were very close, and I think it was the mother or aunt or whatever, and they got real close, and she's kind of, her and her sister started working up this act based on that. So,
nice. I like
yeah.
that.
That's
I love
awesome.
History. I'm so into it. I'm a history buff.
I like that.
Yeah. So, well, there's my squirrel moment.
Yeah.
How about another song? Can we have another song from this new album, too, which is streaming everywhere right now? Ben and Cassie are guests from the Songwriter Connection. You guys are based here in Nashville. Did you travel all over?
Yeah, this is home. People often ask, they're like, do you live in your van? And we're like, only on the road.
Only on the road.
They're like, you have a house? We're like, yeah, we have a house. Mm-hmm. So we've lived in Nashville 20 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Good for you.
All right, let's do this.
Drove 900 miles to NYC, paid a hotel bar so we could sleep for free. Cut a record in a Brooklyn warehouse. It was one of a kind, but now they're all sold out. Played a show in Philly on our way back. Made $35 at Connie's Rick Rack. We hit every thrift store in this town. Let's pack it all up. I wish that I was up around the bend, somewhere miles ahead. My mind is back. Song, and you were sleeping beside me with the seatbelt on. You'd wake up in a fright every once in a while. I told you just 30 more miles. Got in late to Kalamazoo, went through a strange house to find our room. I had been clean in a couple of days, till the water on, but it had. That I was up around the bend, somewhere miles ahead. on running, keep 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 on running.
I'm totally blown away. Cassie, you okay?
I'm good.
Oh my gosh.
I was worried about your speakers.
She was singing from the bathroom.
Oh man. Did you wail on that? That is incredible.
Thank you.
Is that a newer song?
Say again?
Is that a new song?
No, it was on, was it on One?
It was on One?
It was on One.
That was on One.
That was on One, yeah.
I'm going to revisit that album. Love that. Very good.
Thank you.
And upbeat and everything. What was the line about the asleep with the seatbelts?
Yeah, we laughed because we were talking about it earlier.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, something about thinking of lyrics while you're sleeping in the passenger seat. That's exactly what you're saying.
You're driving. I'm sleeping. He's not sleeping while he's driving thinking about lyrics.
Yeah, I was dreaming of lyrics while I was driving.
Oh, do you do some of the driving too, Cassie?
I do 90% of the driving.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I love driving the van. The only time Ben drives is when we, for the most part.
When I drink a NOS.
When we have to drive, like, if we have like a 5 or 6 hour drive for the next day, he'll drive a couple of hours at night after a show because usually I'm kind of pretty tired. But I love driving the van, and it's great being a duo because while I'm driving, he's in the back working on booking and marketing. And, you know, if I'm driving 8 hours, he's working the entire 8 hours in the back.
You guys, what you do is amazing. It is a good team. You have a well-oiled machine.
It is, yeah.
And the van made of gold pine.
Right?
That's right.
Powerful stuff. Gold Pine's our guest, and I'm going to get you one more song before we go.
Sure.
Maybe something from the new album that you want to share with us. And
what is on the new album?
I've got all that. I was listening to this morning, Lost in Town, About Tomorrow. The Conductor was a cool song. Scarecrow. These are all great songs. It's on this album, is everywhere you are.
Yeah.
I know you were talking about The Conductor.
Who? The Land of Rolling Hills.
Oh, The Land of Rolling Hills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of which one. It's like, which songs of these do we know? No,
yeah. Well, you know, and that's a good point because sometimes, like, when I do a lot of the writers' rounds and stuff too, and people say, "Can you play this one?" I'm going, I didn't really work that one up for tonight, you know, because you got to practice,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So I just go in my mind, you know, like 4 or 5 songs that I might play, but then it's like, and whenever I break that and I do something that I haven't played in a while, I'm sorry. Oh, God. Why did I try that? You know. So I mean, I totally understand where you're coming from. So.
No, let's do. Rolling Hills.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do that.
All right, very cool.
So this song originated in Rwanda, Africa.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we traveled over there 7 times, and we started going on missions trips about 10 years ago, and then we started leading trips over there, and now we. The last couple of times we just went without any organization. We have a lot of friends over there in Rwanda, as well as a sponsored daughter we've been sponsoring for about 10 years.
How about that?
And it's cool to at least be that much a part of her life, you know. We've seen, spent a couple of days with her 7 different times, so that's pretty cool.
Wow.
But I remember there's this public Rwandan bus ride that we take through the winding hills of Rwanda. 3-hour bus ride.
Wow.
That we take every time we go to this country. And it's Rwanda is called the Land of 1,000 Hills, and it is just beautiful and lush. And you can look out these bus windows and see all these thousands of hills with lines of cultivation all the way up these hills, and banana trees and monkeys, and yeah, it's just beautiful. But started writing this tune because I'd heard that Rwanda had an unofficial motto, and pretty much everyone in Rwanda knows this saying, and it says, "God spends his days elsewhere, but he sleeps in Rwanda."
Oh, wow.
And I thought that was so beautiful that we ended up writing this song. So this is on the new record.
Very cool.
Land of rolling hills, roll over me. Put me on the road that leads to the city. past the weathered feet on their way somewhere. For the clouds bring rain to the African air. Oh God spends his days in some other place. But each time I wonder, to ache, you laid me in the dust and lured me back a lover who would earn my trust. Still I'll never understand where all those dirty roads lead. Oh, if we could walk them, maybe we'd see. Oh God spends his day in some other place. But each time I would wonder,
awesome. And as you were playing that, I just Googled real quick Rwanda, and it was showing me all these pictures, these beautiful rolling hills, and I could just, it was more than just a visual, just beautiful.
Yeah. It's a beautiful place over there. Love going over there.
In Rwanda. It's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. It's on the new album, which is called Two. I like it. One, two. What's next for you guys?
Three.
After that, we're going to do three.
Yeah.
Right. Are you writing for that already? Are you?
Yes. Yeah. We're recording this year.
Are you?
I think it's going to come out this year.
Awesome.
Ben don't mess around. I told you. He don't mess around.
You produce from your home studio?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the last couple records we did out of the studio, but I didn't mix or master or anything. I sent them off for that. Yeah. So this time we're trying something different.
Yeah.
I'm bringing some recording gear on the road, and I'm recording bits and pieces of live shows.
Oh, that's cool.
That might be the record, like kind of the live stuff kind of mixed together. So it's,
well, you're very,
it's gonna
good
be fun.
Live. I mean, you're very, very, very tight live. So
thank
I think
you.
It would be a brilliant thing to do.
We're better live.
Yeah. Do you think so?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because there's, especially for me, there's something about having the energy of the people and the audience and that connectivity. It like just brings out the best in me.
Yeah.
And so sometimes just in the studio, it's just not the same.
Yeah.
It's not.
Well, you know, every time you go in the studio, you can like, oh, I've got a fallback. If this take's not good, I'll just punch in this word or whatever.
Yeah.
And it takes the energy out of it,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You have to get up in the studio. We don't have that audience to feed off of.
Yeah.
It is quite different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Ben, Cassie, thank you so much for making time again. Your very busy schedule. To be on our podcast. And
thank you for having us.
Oh, man, my pleasure. I'm big fans of what you do, and I wish you all the best and more success this year. And I'll keep following you on the socials. And I suggest you, too, at home or listening, wherever you're listening. So thanks, guys. Goldline, our guest on the Songwriter Connection.
Thank you for listening to the Songwriter Connection podcast.
Find us on social media at Songwriter Connection. Also, listen to Dave Lanahan's Nashville Connections radio show. It streams live every Friday morning on WOBL and WNOI. Look for us on Facebook and YouTube. See you next time on Songwriter Connection.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.